Hello and welcome to this special science podcast from the 2011 AAAS Annual Meeting in Washington, D.C. It's February 19th. I'm Robert Frederick. In this short podcast, we'll hear about comparing national responses to climate change, despite international agreements such as the Kyoto Protocol. Science's Eli Kintas spoke with Jeff Broadbent of the University of Minnesota and Sony Pellissery of the Institute of Rural Management in India.
So Jeff, say a little bit about your background and how you came to establish this global network of sociology case studies on climate change.
Well, sociology is the study of relationships between people and between groups. And we're very interested in how these relationships change over time and affect the decisions that the groups make.
What's the big question you're trying to answer?
Well, we're trying to understand why nations are varying in their response to climate change. In other words, some nations are making attempts to mitigate their outputs of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases, either by regulating industry and consumption or by protecting forests that absorb those gases, while other nations are not doing anything about this or even denying that there is a problem or simply focusing on adaptation to climate disasters but not trying to get at the source of the problem.
Sony, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about your methods studying climate policies in India?
So this method of understanding how different people network is quite an important method. And it was in that context that Jeff's approach on studying different cases were coming up. And Jeff requested me whether I could join the team of climate change, people who are studying on climate change policy. And there are not many people in India who are expert on this network, SNA, social network analysis. That is how I jumped into. I did not have a background until 2006 on climate science itself. And I began to study climate science, but with this knowledge of method, that is social network analysis. That's how I got into the climate change study.
So what did you do to study the way the media was treating the issue of climate change in India?
Okay. So we have analyzed the newspaper items from 2003 till 2008. We have looked at the media articles on any word which is carrying climate change or global warming. And we have looked at who are the actors who are making their claims or statements in the newspaper about climate change or global warming. Then we have looked at what are the main claims or statements about climate change they are coming up with in the media. We have identified about 20 such main discourses, or discourse is a technical term in sociology, but such statements or claims. And then we have found who have got similar claim with other actors or other players in policy statements. And that is what we showed today. Who are the actors who are in agreement? Who are the actors who are in disagreement with other players in the country?
So how many, roughly in India, how many actors are there? How many actors did you find making claims on climate or climate policy?
Yeah. So in this, we have come across with about 60 actors who are making claims or statements. But interesting about this type of actors are they are primarily can be classified into five broad levels. One is central government, second one is state governments or regional governments, and third one is international level actors, then fourth one is business groups, and fifth one is civil society groups or NGOs. So all these 60 players could be classified into broadly into five of these kind. I must add that most of the statements, it's primarily about either international government or international actors or with government ministers or bureaucrats. There is not much from civil society except few NGOs. They are all either silent or apathetic to the whole issue.
I didn't hear you say scientists. Are those considered government officials?
All the scientific institutions in India are funded by government institutes. So there is government.
Any initial findings on what you found about this network analysis?
What we found is, especially based on media analysis, that all climate change discourse, the main focus is not really climate change science or climate change topic. It is an agenda pushed for achieving some other international purposes or international bargains, either a business deal or to achieve an international reputation. And climate change position is used in that framework. Therefore, you will see in the media, a lot of the time, there is a preoccupation in the mind of the ministers, either to agree with U.S. government to achieve the business purposes, or when they talk in the domestic level, to disagree with it. But when they talk at the international level, they will agree with the U.S. government. And when they talk about China, they will say that, yes, in the negotiations, we are with China. But on domestic factors, we are not with China, because China is not allowing us to give the land near Kashmir on these issues. So what we are seeing is, it is not climate science or climate change issue which is really the focus. It is some other issues like business, some other issues like your reputation. And in that process, things get colluded. And policy becomes a kind of an outcome of mixture of all these interests.
Jeff, I know it's early in your global collaboration, studying these institutions and figures who are important in climate policy and climate science. Any initial findings as you've looked across these different case studies?
Yes, some very interesting findings are emerging. You know, we have the level of media analysis, and then we have the level of the survey analysis. So the media analysis looks at the kinds of actors and statements that the national media allow into the news space, whereas the actual survey that we're going to do picks up many important organizations and gets their opinions and networks, even if they're not in the national media space. So right now, we've only done the national media analysis for the most part, and we're getting some very interesting cross-national comparisons. For instance, in terms of the media attention devoted to climate change, Japan is the strongest in that regard, with climate change articles occupying up to 3% of the total number of articles published in the newspapers around 2007, whereas the United States is at a dead last along with Russia and China, with only about 0.6% even at the peak of the news share of climate change articles among the total number published. And we're seeing a gradual trend across time, though, of all nations gradually participating more and more in this common global discussion and newspapers paying more and more attention to it. So we see that as an indication of the spread of a growing global consensus about the importance of climate change and the need to do something about it.
What years were those media analysis covering?
The media analysis on this level of attention to climate change in the media runs from 1997 through 2009.
In that whole period, 3% of all the news articles from Japan were about climate change?
This was at the peak, which occurred in 2007, which has coincided and reflected the IPCC fourth report.
I mean, was that on one day? I mean, was that...
This was in a year, the year of 2007.
Oh, the whole year.
The whole year of 2007. Close to 3% of articles in Japan were devoted or mentioned climate change.
That's a lot. Since your expertise is network analysis and the way that sociological networks develop, any findings yet on that, or is that the next step?
Well, we haven't done the surveys except for several cases. The U.S. and Sweden and Korea are the only ones so far that have done the network surveys. But we do the network survey in the media as level three of our media analysis, where we look at actors and statements and what kind of actors support what kind of statements occupying the media space in each country. And there we find very different main focal points of debates and discussions and actors supporting them. For instance, a very interesting finding is that Japan and Korea both look upon climate change as an important economic opportunity that their businesses should take advantage of and enter into international markets concerning.
You speak of their governments when you say Japan and Korea, or you mean?
No. In the media space, we look at all actors that make comments on issues. So in Japan and Korea, government actors occupy the larger proportion of those quoted in the media, but also private businesses play a very big role. And interestingly enough, private businesses are very supportive of the idea of climate change as an economic opportunity.
Climate change as an economic opportunity. You mean mitigating climate change as an or just...
Climate change presents an economic opportunity for businesses to develop alternate energy sources and also mechanisms and procedures for reducing carbon dioxide outputs and making production processes more efficient and public transportation more efficient. And these things can be sold in the international market.
Well, thank you both for talking to me.
Thank you very much.
That was Science's Eli Kinta speaking with Jeff Broadbent of the University of Minnesota and Sony Pellissery of the Institute of Rural Management in India about comparing national responses to climate change. This has been a special science podcast from the 2011 AAAS Annual Meeting in Washington, D.C. Special thanks to Gretchen Kuda for her work on this show. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write us at sciencepodcast@aaas.org. The show is a production of Science Magazine. Jeffrey Cook composed the music, and I'm Robert Frederick. On behalf of Science Magazine and its publisher, AAAS, the Science Society, thanks for joining us.